This audio presentation is the teaching of Pastor Scott Chiroma of New Hope East Hawaii. In his message titled Consecration Part 1, Pastor Scott talks about the first two reasons why we should consecrate ourselves to the Lord. This message was recorded on Sunday, November 1st, 2015. Here now is Pastor Scott.
Oh, we got through Halloween. We're alive. We had our sugar rush. I don't know if you ate plenty candy yesterday, but I am glad that I did my labs the other week and I had my checkup. Oh, even though my sugar was a little bit high, it was supposed to be below 7, but it was 7.5. So you guys got to not pass me so many cookies after church, okay? Yeah. I know you guys love me and you guys want to try my dessert, and I will try it because I don't want to hurt your feelings. So comes to that, then I'll just eat it and I'll bite the bullet for you. All right, so we're going to talk about consecration, which is a big word, and I don't really care for big words, but I thought it was important. And if you ever had children, yeah, and like me, I remember when my first child was born, every 10 minutes I'd be back downstairs outside the hospital smoking another cigarette because I was just like so nervous. And I would go upstairs, check on my wife, massage her back, go back downstairs, smoke another cigarette. And I was like, oh, man, come on, this is just like, oh, this is driving me, hurry up. It's driving me nuts. Go back upstairs, massage her back. You know, the socks with the tennis ball inside. And up and down, and oh, it's like, and then finally, man, when that child was born, when Kayla was born, and it was like, wow, she had 10 fingers and 10 toes, and say, oh, thank you, Jesus. They're perfect. And many of your children, when they were born, they were perfect. They were beautiful. And, you know, it was like, wow, beginning of life. The ending of sleep, but the beginning of life. And we would never come to the conclusion that because we had a child, it's finished. It's all done. No, but it's a new beginning. And the same thing happens as believers, yeah? Our beginning, our being saved and born again with the life of God is just an incredible moment. And life as a Christian, when we say, I want you as my Lord and Savior, it's not an end. But it's a beginning. Just like a birth of a child. It's not like, okay, it's done. But it is a beginning. It's the beginning of a journey. And just as babies need to grow and develop, as Christians, we need to grow and develop. Amen? We cannot say, yes, Jesus, I want you as my Lord and Savior, and do nothing about it. And just, okay, I'm done. I said yes to Jesus, I'm done. I'm going to come to church, sit in a corner, and do my duty. No, it doesn't. It's the beginning. In Romans 6:13, Paul he never been to Rome yet. He's writing to the Roman church, preparing before he goes. And in Romans 6:13, he says, and do not go on presenting the members of your body to sin as instruments of unrighteousness. You think about that. Do not present the members of your bodies to sin as instruments of unrighteousness. Man, I used to use my body to sin, to do unrighteousness, to do drugs, to use my mouth to speak bad things about people. And, you know, it's sin. And my feet used to be the ones that would go out to people and come on, let's go out and let's go party. And let's go drink, let's go do this, let's go do drugs, let's go, you know, all kinds of bad stuff. Let's go do this, let's go steal that. And man, Paul was saying, do not go and do that. But, you know, every time they put the word but in the Bible, it's like, but present yourselves to God as those alive from the dead. And your members as instruments of righteousness to God. Now, man, I get to go to people and try and bring them in to Christ. And I look at all the people who I corrupted in the past. You know, these when you were in your 30s and 40s, and these guys were in their 15s and 16s, and you used to drink together. And I'm going back and trying to undo the damage that I done. Man, it is so difficult. Now I'm trying to use my feet, because this is beautiful are the feet of those who bring the good news. So I know I have beautiful feet. They may not smell good, but they're beautiful. And I'm trying to use my body as an instrument to bring glory to God, to share the good news, to encourage people, not to call them dummies or idiots or donkeys, you know what I mean? And those of you who laugh because you guys have the King James Bible and you know what they use in place of donkey, and if you don't know, then go find the King James Bible and read what they, when they have the word donkey, they say something else, which we think of as a bad word. But, you know, I have learned to do something different. So, what does it mean, consecration? It's such a big word. And it's a commonly used word. And we might have an idea of what it means. And in religion, the word consecration has been used in relation to the official ordaining of people to be a preacher or priest or missionary. And the use implies consecration is for maybe a special category of people, but consecration in the New Testament is for every believer in Christ. It's not something for only knowledgeable Christians or spiritually mature ones. In fact, as we see, we cannot subjectively know the life of Christ in us or reach a certain point of maturity without consecrating ourselves to the Lord, meaning setting ourselves apart for things, for times or places as sacred to God, for God to use. It's like I have many fishing poles. Not that I can fish with 5 fishing poles at one time. I'm not that talented. But I have one that I use for this type of fish. And I have one that I use is set apart for this type of fish. And you cannot use the little one to catch the big ones. You know what I mean? So I have different poles for different purposes. And, you know, so I set things apart. And the thing is with us, consecration, it's giving ourselves to the Lord to become a living sacrifice, as Paul puts it. In Romans 12:1, he says, "Therefore, I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship." Yeah? Because of God's compassion on both the Jews and the Gentiles in offering salvation to Christ, Paul tells us that we got to please God in our daily lives. In the Old Testament, a sacrifice was something set apart for God and put on the altar. When people offered that sacrifice to God, okay, like say in the Old Testament, God wanted an unblemished lamb, and you brought the lamb in to the priest, check, make sure it wasn't defective or spotted, gave it to the priest, sacrificed it on the altar. Once you did that, yeah, it no longer belonged to you. Yeah, it wasn't yours anymore. You cannot go back and say, "Okay, I gave it to you. Can I have it back?" You know, it no longer belonged to you. It was set apart for God's use and His satisfaction. And so today, when we say we consecrate ourselves to the Lord, you know, we become a living sacrifice. not a dead sacrifice, but a living. See, the thing is, we need to give up our own claims for our own selves. Put ourselves completely in God's hands. And I don't think it's done all in one time. I think it's a lifetime thing. Because, man, to give yourselves completely and wholly to God is a daily thing. You might have an easy time doing it today, but tomorrow you might fail. So I think it's an ongoing thing. We got to try our very best to practice. Yeah? So previously in our lives before coming to God, how many of you, before you said yes to Jesus, it's like, my life was my life. I did what I wanted to do. I went fishing when I wanted to go fishing. And I watched football on Sunday mornings because that's when football is shown. I did what I wanted to do. And now you come to church and it's like, okay, I am setting apart Sunday morning for the purpose of God. I am setting apart Sunday morning is holy and sacred now because I am committed to be here. I am committed to playing music to lead people into a place where God is by what we do. We set apart Sunday morning as a holy time where we get to learn about God. We get to encourage our brothers and sisters. We get to fellowship with each other. Yeah? So that, and it's no longer me, what I want to do. When we present ourselves to the Lord as a living sacrifice, we are simply saying, Lord, I am for you. Here I am. I'm no longer going to do things, you know, out of selfishness. But, you know, if you just say, Lord, like, here I am. Use me. And if you really mean it, be ready because he will. The other week I was just like, Lord, man, I really need to, you know, find some people to share with because I'm just ready to explode because of this good news that I have and I just want to, you know, tell the whole world. But if I stand on the street corner and blurt it out, nobody's going to listen. So I need to find people who I know and go and share. I used to, after I left HPM and I went to the church, I used to frequently go back there, walk through the back inside just to look for people that I knew and just to get to tell them what I'm doing now or what I get to do and how my life has changed. And I was like, God, I need some. So I need people. So I sit down at Burger King because I'm waiting for the car at Sears. And I sit down at Burger King. And right across me, this old Portuguese man sits down. And I look at him like, hey, Tony. I know him from way back when I was at SureSave, and he was working there. And I was like, hey, Tony. So we start talking. And he said, you still at the church? I said, yes, I am. Because I used to see him at the big church. He used to bring his grandkid for some activity. And he would not want to come to church. He would sit outside and wait. And I would talk story with him. And I see him. And I guess his wife must have passed away. So, you know, I'm saying, God, use me. And then he introduces his lady friend. And says, oh, this is my friend. We just hang out. We have breakfast. And he's trying to explain things to me. And then he tells this lady, you know, he's a pastor, you know. It's like, oh, were you pastor at New Hope? And so, and then he tells this lady, you know this guy? But he was so rotten. he tells me straight to my face, man, I don't know how your wife stayed with you. Because he knew that half the time when I came work, I was either drunk or high. And he knew how, and now he sees a change. And just, it's like, you know, I'm thinking, Lord, I was just asking for this, you know. And I got to just, you know, share and encourage him and her. And it was like, you know, when you ask God to use you, to set you apart for his purpose, man, be ready. You know how, okay, at home, if you have a dog, you have one dustpan set apart for you know what, right? But we want to be set apart for, like, good, you know, like your special china that you bring out when I come over to dinner. Yeah, like you come to my house, my special china is called Chinan. But you know, you have, and then that's how we want to be. We want to be set apart like this special thing that God can use for His glory. Amen. So there's going to be some reasons why we should do this. So the number one is so that we can walk in the Lord's way. Colossians 1, 9 to 12. For this reason also, since the day we heard of it, we have not ceased to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. And that's what we've been praying for all of you. That you'd be filled with the knowledge and that you would mature so that you will walk in a manner worthy of the Lord to please Him in all respects, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. Now, I like that word, increasing in the knowledge of God. I think if we're not increasing in the knowledge of God, then what are we doing? Strengthened with all power according to His glorious might for the attaining of all steadfastness and patience, joyously giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. So the Colossians' growth in the knowledge of God and the resulting of fruit would help strengthen them. And Paul's prayer for these believers was asking God that they be strengthened in God's power, to be made strong with God's power, to be given incredible strength. And it was God's power that created the universe. It was God's power that brought Jesus back to life. It was God's power that gives us life. The power of God is available to the believers, to our church, so that we can fulfill the mission, so we can be set apart. And Paul wanted the Colossian believers to be strengthened so that they wouldn't be pulled away from their faith. The power would give these people patience and endurance that they would need. And the patience they would need would be the ability to stand firm against opposition without giving up. And it is often used in describing one who is dealing with a difficult person. If you've ever been there, you know it takes patience. In Romans 13, it says, "Let us behave properly as in the day, not carousing and drunkenness, not in sexual promiscuity and sensuality, not in strife and jealousy, but put on," there's the word "but" again, "but put on the Lord Christ and make no provision for the flesh in regard to its lust." Before we were saved, we walked our own way and made our own decisions and chose our own direction. But after we're saved, God wants us to walk in His way, follow Him, and be led by Him. You see the difference? Before, man, we just walked wherever we wanted to. Even though we knew we were walking in the wrong direction. We may not have thought it, but everybody else could see it. My wife could see it. But after we say, now we get to walk in a different way, following God and being led by Him. Amen? The wild parties, the getting drunks, all that, stop. The fighting, the jealousy, those things does not please God anymore. You know, we get to set ourselves apart and walk in a different way. Which, I gotta tell you, man, walking this way is hard work. It's like walking uphill. And it's because everybody's watching you, and you cannot be walking with the world. And it's a hard thing to do, but it's so wonderful. We give ourselves to God. He let us lead us, consecrating ourselves to Him, to keep us in His way. We can pray, Lord, I don't want to make my own decisions. I don't want to take my own way. But I want to be kept in Your way. And so we can say, Lord, I give myself to You. Ephesians 4:1, therefore, I, the prisoner of the Lord, implore you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling which you have been called. See, we are called to behave and to walk in a certain way. And if you think about it, whenever you do something, you got to think, is this what I want to do? Or is this what God wants me to do? And if you really in tune with the Lord, you will know. Some people call me up asking me, what should I do? They'll pray and you will know. God will, because I cannot tell people what to do. But if you pray and you ask God, He will reveal. Okay, so why do we consecrate ourselves? Number two, so we can grow in life. So we can grow in life. Ephesians 4:14. As a result, we are no longer to be children, tossed here and there by the waves, carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men, by the craftiness in deceitful scheming. Okay? So we set ourselves apart so we won't fall for these tricks. But speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in all aspects into Him who is the head, even in the Christ. Okay, so we got to grow. We got to set ourselves apart so we can grow, so we do not be deceived. Okay, I got to tell you this story. When I was a little kid, and my older brother, who is 7 years older than me, you know those sprinkles that is round, the one you eat, the one tastes really good. My oldest brother said, you want some of those? I said, yeah, I love these things because I was eating them, even though they were to put on the cookies. Okay, this is what you do. You get colored paper, you punch the holes, you put them in the refrigerator overnight, and tomorrow will be candy. So I punched and I punched and I punched all different colors, pink, yellow, purple, red, green. I put them in a container, I threw them in an ice box. Next morning I opened up, it was paper! I was deceived. I was lied to. I was so mad. Can you imagine? You ever did that as an older sibling? Boy, that was cruel. I punched and I punched and I punched. One at a time. I didn't have the three-hole puncher. One at a time. One at a time. And I punched sheets and sheets of paper. Only to be deceived. Why? Because I didn't know. Oh, I was like, looking so forward to eating all those candies. And so as we gotta mature in faith. We cannot be children anymore if you told your 2-year-old that, they probably would try and do it, right? Because they don't know. And as followers of Christ, we cannot be deceived. I was watching this Hallmark movie the other day. It was like a Christmas miracle or something. I don't know if you've seen it, but the angel was telling the lady, like, man, you're dead. Okay. I told you not to talk on the phone and drive, and you talked on the phone and you drive, so you're dead. Okay, so now we have an assignment for you. You gotta go talk to this young man and help him turn his business around. And when you do that, you have until December 24th. And when you do that, that's your entry into heaven. I was like, boy, this is so off because you don't do work to get into heaven. And I understand it's just a movie, but you know, if you didn't know the difference, you would say like, wow. And then the angel was telling you, yeah, once you die, the feelings of hurt and stuff, they never go away. I think like, well, the Bible says that we're going to go and the place is no more tears, no more sorrow, no more death. And it's like, so apparently we cannot be sad in heaven. So I was thinking, like, and if you didn't know, you'd be deceived by this simple movie. So we need to set ourselves apart so we can grow. Yeah? So we can understand and mature so that we would not be led astray. Amen? So with any physical life, after birth comes growth. And in the same way, when Christ comes into our life, His intention is for us to grow, to mature. Yeah? When we surrender ourselves to God, I think it provides for Him the best opportunity for growth. Just like when you have that child, you provide the best environment for that child to grow. Give them a nice bed, warm, feed them the proper food, make sure they go sleep at a certain time. So you provide an environment. You send them to the best schools that you can. If you can afford a private school, then great. You would probably send them there. If you have Hawaiian, you probably send them to Kamehameha because you know that they teach the children so much that they make them take home their work. Yeah, they do, and I see it, and I'm like, wow. And you would create this environment for them to grow. And the same way when you say yes to God and you surrender to Him, then you provide an environment for yourself to grow and mature. Okay, so whether or not we give ourselves to the Lord makes a big difference in our experience of Christ. When we keep ourselves in our own hands without consecrating ourselves to the Lord, you know, we might not feel certain things are wrong. And we might not be able to tell whether something is of God or is not. Our lack of consecrating ourselves to the Lord hinders the life within. And the life in us simply does not function as well because it does not have the opportunity to grow and develop. It's like a child that you are young. When a child is young, like the age is in there, we don't give them a diet, breakfast, lunch, and dinner of candy, 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 right? We know that would not be good for their growth, right? You give them a balanced meal. And when we don't set ourselves apart for the Lord, we're not getting the fullness. But when we surrender ourselves to the Lord, we provide the best opportunity for His life to grow in us. We can sense what's pleasing to Him and what is not. Because I get that all the time. When I'm driving, and I still call people names, please forgive me, but when I'm by myself, I call people names because, I mean, I swear, I was going down the road one day, and somebody was coming right at me in my lane. And I was like, man, you know what? Not the F word, the I word. Okay? And it's like, you know, and right there, once you say that, you know, it's not honoring to God, and I get that. But if we didn't set ourselves apart, we would call them blank, blank, tell them the number one, read between the lines, you know, and we wouldn't feel no remorse because we wouldn't know. Yeah? So we need to make sure that, man, it's so important that you set yourself apart. You say, God, use me. How many of you would like to be used by God to expand His kingdom? All right, half of you, that's great. The other half, you're just shy. But you know what? Man, it is so important that we say, man, whatever I want to do, I want to do it to glorify You. I want to set myself apart so that God can grow in me and I can do the Lord's work fully, and I can understand, and I can feel, and I can grow to the fullness. Amen? We're going to end this. We're going to take communion now, so you can put away your notes and prepare for communion. Jaywin is going to come up and lead us in communion. Would you welcome Jaywin? And then you can thank the Lord also.
Let's thank Pastor Scott. I thought it was full. I was like, oh, I got a meal today. You know, every time that I got to do communion, yeah, I think about the different... You guys can pass out the elements. I think about what was going through his mind, yeah? I believe that the things that God set for us, they're relatable to us, yeah? The things that Jesus did, so we could understand God, it would be very, very relatable to us, things that we could understand. And one of the things that we all could understand is that of death. And I've learned that people, as they get prepared for death, or even in their early years, what they do is they try to establish themselves so they are not forgotten. One of the biggest fears of death, I believe, is being forgotten. Okay? And I can't imagine Jesus when he was doing this Last Supper, you know, when he said this, he said, "Do this in remembrance of me." And then I think about it and I said, man, you know, he really didn't want to be forgotten. And the Lord revealed to me that it's not that he didn't want to be forgotten for his sake. Like for me, I don't like be forgotten. You know, I want my kids to remember me when I'm gone. I want people that I come into contact remember me. And it's pretty much for selfish reasons. But for Jesus, when he said, "Do this in remembrance of me," not that it would have salvation value, but what it would do is for those who believe and take part in this, they would remember what he did. And he would show his love. God would be able to show his love through Christ and what he did by breaking his body as the bread and pouring out his blood, which is the wine. And as we do that, we remember what he did. And because he did that for us, we as Christians, we move and motivated by the love of God. Amen? Thank you. And so even in the early church, they did this. They continually did this. So from the beginning, from that time that Jesus did that with the disciples, the church has practiced this. And in doing so, we remember what he did for us. Amen? So I'm going to read out of Corinthians. Yeah, and Paul, he talks to Corinthians and he explains how it should be done. And if you guys remember, Paul always said that he received everything directly from God. He wasn't taught by a man, but all revelation that he had was revealed by God. So he says, "I show you as the Lord showed me." And it says, "For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, he took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'Take, eat, my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me.'" Take of the bread. "In the same manner, he also took of the cup after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me.'" Take of the cup. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you that you have sacrificed your Son. You have broken his body and you spilt his blood that we could be made right with you, Father. We thank you that you love us so much. In the song it said, "Love so amazing that you have done this for us." Father, we appreciate you. And we thank you for communion that we would be able to take this and remember what you have done for us, Father. We appreciate everything that you have done in us and through us, and we love you and we thank you. In the name of Jesus Christ we pray. Amen.
You've been listening to Pastor Scott Chiroma of New Hope Christian Fellowship East Hawaii. New Hope East Hawaii meets each Sunday at 9 a.m. at Christian Liberty Academy, 16-675 Milo Street, Keao, Hawaii. For more information, call us at 808-936-6651 or visit www.newhopeeasthawaii.com.